There's one thing in my life that's missing. It's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. There's lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go, but I never want to lose their inspiration. That it's time for a cool change, and now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover. It's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. It's kind of a special feeling, out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
Well, welcome to the situation report for September 5th, Little River Band. I love that song, Time for a Change. That's a great song. You don't hear it anymore on the radio. They don't play Little Rubber Band, April Wine, any of those bands from the 70s, unless you're on a old rock station. But yeah, it's a good catalog. And it felt like today I needed to change pace, especially after the whole 80s thing. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, that song has been around too. So, but, you know, a couple of things, new glasses, they're driving me crazy. They're just like not quite right. Anyway, so the shooting in Pittsburgh yesterday, there's three common denominators between the last three shootings that have happened. Not get away from the trans thing for a second, but the FBI has an equation for this. They have figured out what the equation is for whatever they want for a shooter. They figured it out. They got it down to a science now. And the science is that, number one, they contact the kid on Discord. The kid fits a profile, number two. And number three, they manipulate the kid into whatever they want them to do and activate them some way. And then the rhetoric on the other side is always the same. The rhetoric is always, we need to ban assault rifles, which is a bullshit term anyway, right? Assault rifle. It's like weapon of war. It's another bullshit term to change the meaning of the word so that it sounds more harsh. Rather than change it to make it sound better, they make it sound worse. And it's you just go through Twitter. You can see all of the language that's already out there and all the AI and all the parrots that are being paid to parrot, we need to ban guns. You notice how there's never a discussion around what activated this kid? What motivated this kid to go shoot a bunch of people? And you notice how they always have some kind of mental health issue going on, but we never discuss the fact that the liberals, not the Republicans, the liberals in every major blue city have completely dismantled all the healthcare and mental health safety nets across the United States. And there is no safety net for somebody that has mental health issues. Zero. Just like there's no mental health safety net for somebody that is in suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Why don't they just call it shell shock? Why do we have to keep changing the fucking name of it? Battle fatigue, shell shock, it's all the same shit. Anyway, there's never a discussion around the mental health aspect or the failure in mental health. It's all a targeted game to go after gun rights. And let me tell you, let me just say this for most Americans, because I know most Americans are thinking this, and this is not a disparagement of the families. Nobody cares. We've seen so much of this. This equation has played out so many different times. No one cares. No one. Everybody's desensitized to it. And you know what? This is a message for the FBI. If you've ever played Wii Golf and you hit too many strokes, there's a thing on that pops up on the screen that says, give up, you suck. God, give up. Give it up. Nobody buys the narrative anymore. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to see it. And nobody buys into it. It's a lie. Everything that has been done in the last 2 years is a lie. You activated the trans kid that went in and shot a bunch of kids. You activated the kid that went in and shot kids, supposedly at Sandy Hook. And now you're going to tell us, and I guarantee you this is going to come out in the next 3 to 4 days, that this kid was actually visited by the FBI days before. He had an FBI handler, a former FBI handler on Discord, exactly the same MO. I guarantee this will come out. Because if there's anything that you can say about the elite that's behind this and the dirty trick squad or whatever you want to call them that's sitting at the FBI, they are always playing the same game. They haven't changed their script. And I don't know if you guys figured it out or not, but nobody's buying into it anymore. Not one person is buying into this narrative anymore. Not even people on the left. It's only the paid shills and the true lemmings on the left that are buying into this. Because Everybody's watching what's going on in the UK and Ireland. Everybody's seeing that they're set up for genocide and that they've imported how many millions of military age males into the UK? And Keir Starmer can say whatever he wants to say. He could talk about what a terrible tragedy it was and whatever tower that was afflicted by whatever issue. No one buys it anymore. Americans are fed up. We're sick of the narratives. Let me tell you what we're sick of, because I know you're listening, because I got the call today. The anonymous number from Washington, D.C. Yeah, I know who that was. And I don't care either, because we're all done. We're sick of the gay and trans thing. We're sick of every movie, every TV series, every article. Everything on TV is anti-white, anti-nuclear family, anti-American, anti-woman. Everything. And we're just sick to death that every single show has to have some gay summer of love that none of us buy into, none of us support. Nobody cares anymore. We're done hearing it. Just like we're done hearing about why Ukraine is such a vital ally that we have to support. Yeah, the reality with all of these narratives is that there's nothing behind them. Just like Ukraine. They've been promising Ukraine for what, 2 years now, 2.5 years, that they're going to bring him into NATO? Has it ever happened? No. Is it going to happen? No. Just like we've been promising Israel that we're going to send troops in there to support their fight with Hezbollah. No, we're not. We don't have the troops to send in there. Everything that's come out of D.C. in the last 10 years has been a complete lie. And it's only gotten worse over the last 2 years. And now everything's a lie. Right down to the gaslighting that comes out of all the major news stations every time Harris or Walt says something on TV. Their numbers are plummeting. She's more hated in her own party than she is by Republicans. To Republicans, if you're into the left and right thing, that the people that are conservative look at her and she's a joke. She's too stupid and unqualified to be president. You can't sell that to anybody. The only thing that she's there for is divide, 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 divide. That's it. Nothing else. She's not there for anything else. She's not a leader. She's not smart. She's not charismatic. She's not a public speaker. She's just there. Total lie. And the kicker in all of it is that no one elected her. She was never primary. Nobody voted for her. They installed her, and everybody in the Democratic Party went, yay! The fuck is wrong with you people? So everything you're seeing is completely scripted and set up, right down to this kid's profile. This kid profile is so spot on to the last three that you can make the leap that there was FBI at the house prior, there was an FBI handler. It's all right there. The whole thing is a complete setup and a lie. And I spent the day, I avoided people today, just so you know, because I dealt with window lickers all day, all morning long. And it drives me crazy when I deal with, you know, I like my bullshit freshly packaged and well delivered. I really do, because if somebody's going to bullshit me, I want it to be convincing. I want it to be fresh bullshit, not things I've heard. If it's a sales guy, I want to see a PowerPoint or some kind of a presentation that's like whiz bang, you know, and I deal with security sales guys all the time. So it's always the same thing. We here at Whiz Bang Security, we're doing shit nobody's doing. We got shit that nobody's got, and we detect shit that nobody detects. It's all horse shit, all of it, right? Because the market's doing this, consolidating all the capabilities, consolidating into one tool. It's called AI. So you can say as much as you want about AI, but it's on the way. It's coming. And, you know, the next fight will be with the Borg or with the Cylons or whatever you want to call it. But it's coming. And literally, when I was getting ready to do the show, I was thinking, should I talk about the whole Monday night show and then Tuesday night show? Yeah, I should. So, by the way, thanks to Matt Bracken for the shout out on Mike Ferris' show about my sit rep on Monday. Appreciate that, man. I really do, because it's the numerology and astrology topic is very dense. There's no light way to go through it. There's no way to go through it and talk through it without getting blowback. There's no way to address any of those topics without having to go into detail around where planets are aligned. And look, I'll say this again because it bears repeating. I've been talking to Sharita for 2 years. I still don't get it. She has to chimp shit down for me. That's like, speak really slow, use really simple terms, or I get confused. I'm not kidding. I don't get numerology at all. And I've been, you know, I've been reading about it, talking about it, and trying to figure it out for 2 years. And I still don't get it. But here's the thing about it. Every time I do a show like that, I get tons of blowback, and it's always from the Christian right. And you guys, I'm just going to say this out loud so that it maybe one of these days I'll say it the right way and it'll resonate. Half the planet uses numerology and astrology to guide their lives. It's not seen as satanic. It's not seen as ethereal. It's not seen as woo. It's seen as something that is really an artistic form, or not an artistic, scientific form of plotting events. And Matt said it the best on Mike Versus Show. In fact, he said it better than I could say it. Half the world is using numerology to plan their operations and communicate with their troops. And his analogy was, we're looking at a school of jellyfish and we're trying to find the commander jellyfish. When they're all speaking the same language, they're all in tune, they're all in lockstep, because they're using numerology and they're using astrology to plan and execute their events. And we're still trying to figure out who the head of the snake is. And there's no head of the snake. And the problem that I have with the Christian right, especially the extreme right, is that you get to the point where you're frustrated because you don't understand it. So what is the first inclination to do? Is you go after it as a religion, and you start to discredit it as a religion. But let me tell you something. In 1776, the position of the planets, the position of the astrological chart is exactly where it is right now. Exactly. So clearly there's something to it to correlate those two events, because what we're seeing right now is very reminiscent at the start of the Revolutionary War. And just like if you look at the fourth turning, every time there's a major event, there is some kind of an astrological event that goes along with that, and a tremendous amount of energy that hits the planet. And this is all I'm going to say to you. I want you to go to an ER on a full moon, and you tell me if you don't see some batshit crazy things going on in an ER. I was married to a nurse, and I can tell you, every time she worked, she hated working on a full moon, because people lose their fucking minds around a full moon. And you don't think that there's some correlation between that astrological event and people's reaction to it? No other time of the month do people lose their minds, only on a full moon. There's something to be said for the vibration or energy or whatever you want to call it that hits the planet during those times. And none of us understand it. None of us. Not one fucking person on the right. You know why? Because we're taught from the time we step into a church that it's satanic, and that it's voodoo, or it's magic, or it's leads to Satanism. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad. And the other part of it too, which pisses me off to no end, is that every time you try and suggest it, people go out of their way to throw Bible verses at me, to throw some kind of a Muslim verse at me. I've had people send me Mormon verses about it. Look, I get it. You're wrapped in your belief system. I get that you believe what you believe, and that's great. I'm glad that you have a religion. I'm glad that you believe in your religion. But if you want to win the fight in front of you, you have to understand the enemy. And if you don't understand the enemy, you're going to lose the war. part of doing, and I've, this is a, you know, I'm repeating some of the things I said on Monday because I had the same conversation this afternoon when I was trying to avoid people having this conversation. Here's the bottom line. We need to understand this in depth so we understand how the enemy communicates. It's really simple. Shoot, move, and communicate. We need to understand how the enemy shoots, moves, and communicates. And right now, we don't. And that's a problem. It doesn't get any more simple than that. And then the other side of this is that no matter how you look at it, whether it's your religion or not, this is what the enemy believes. This is what the enemy uses. This is what half the world uses to plan events, to plan their life. And not everybody doing it is satanic. So, and, you know, Matt and Michael Yawn used some really good examples. You should go watch Mike Ferris's interview with him. You know, those two guys are, they're great in environments like that where you just let them, give them a topic and just let them go, right? So both of them have a deep understanding of history, and both of them understand the correlation between history and where we are now, which is yet another problem with most Americans. Most Americans don't know shit about history. They don't study history. They don't look back in history. They don't care about history. But the term history repeats itself. There's a reason why that term is there. It's there because the enemy we're fighting has used the same script and playbook since 400 BC. They have not changed their script. They're using the same script right now to conduct the color revolution. They're using the same script right now to indoctrinate all of our children into a communist lifestyle. And they're highly effective at it. And they use numerology to plan their events and to communicate. I don't know how much clearer I can be on that. And I don't know why it's such a problem for people to open their minds enough to try and understand it. And you got to, let me tell you, you got a lot of smart guys that are looking at this, trying to figure this out. Not just me. I'm putting it out there because there's an army of you that can sit here and listen to me for an hour. You can spend an hour trying to nug through this stuff to figure out what the correlation is between all these events in history and some of the astrological events or astrological timelines. It's not that hard. Same with the numerology. It's not that hard. Well, it is for me, but you know, you get my point. Everybody's good at something. We literally have to work together to figure this stuff out and leverage each other's skills and be complementary about it so that everybody has a role to play. And right now, I spend more time fighting with people and arguing with people than I do trying to solve problems. That to me is a problem. So, okay, enough said on that. I had to cover that because I had so much blowback. And, you know, a lot of the feedback was very good, very, very complimentary. So I appreciate that. But if you think that you're going to do one conversation about numerology and get it, you are sorely mistaken. I've done probably 50 or 60 just talking about specific dates over the summer that were key, and I still don't understand all of it. So there's a lot there to learn, and it takes a significant amount of time to go through it and figure it all out and understand it. I can tell you I'll never get the whole 17 degrees of this, 14 degrees. I hear it, doesn't mean anything to me. It's like me talking about, you know, using military acronyms, same thing. Most people wouldn't get what I'm saying when I start throwing acronyms out there. So give it more than one or two conversations before you throw in the towel, because it's a very dense subject. It's very detailed. A lot of it has to do, and this is what I heard, just so everybody's clear what I heard, because I was listening too. I heard, number one, that October 7th is a significant date because of the alignment of planets and because of where the country is on its quote-unquote natal chart. That means the birth date of the country, et cetera. So there's a natal chart for the birth for the country. There's a natal chart for individuals. There's a natal chart for governments, et cetera. And it's all based on the birth date, just like the Lexigram thing. When we were talking about Lexigram, the reason why I brought that up is we were talking about the before the show and the Lexigram piece of this. A person's name tells you a lot about what their life plan and what their, you know, their persona is. And it's all based off the name that you get on your birth certificate when you're born, your name, your birthday, and your chart. It all goes together. I don't know how it all goes together, but I know it all goes together. So, and I wanted to talk about that because so much of what's come out in Lexigrams that Sherita's put into her shows, and she's got several shows now on Rumble, but she's got more on her website. And it escapes me. Soul Certainty, I think it is. I think Sherita's out there. If you're out there, Sherita, what's the website? Anyway, the point is that there's a natal chart for everybody. And I can tell you the research I've done just on myself is I asked her to do just a chart of me. You know, I was born on this day. Tell me what my sign is. And she was spot on. Like, one of the things she said to me early on is, you don't care about money. I don't give a shit about money. I mean, I've had money. I've had lots of money. I've had no money, right? Money doesn't mean shit to me. And she was right about that. And that, you know, she said, you know, your personality, you don't have a lot of tolerance for people that are incompetent or people that are fraudulent or people that are not truthful. Very true. I have no patience for that. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves is people that just cannot be direct. I can't. If you're passive and you can't say what you mean and mean what you say, you trust me, you will get a strong response from me, especially if we're doing a business deal, because I don't trust people that can't be direct. And most of the time, they got a hidden agenda, and I was married to it, so I know exactly what it looks like. So, hey, I'll tell you, you say what you mean what you say, and do what you say, or fuck off. It's really simple. And I found, too, the other thing, and this was something else she was right about, is that the older I get, the less patience I have for that, which is very, very true. Because the older I get, the less of a shit I give about it. You know, people that are hurting people's feelings is a better way to say it. And I, you know, she's called out so many different things that were right anyway, but I still understand why. So, but I know there's something to it. Now, does it mean that she's 100% right? No, nobody's 100% right. In fact, it's like technical guys, right? You don't want to meet the guy that knows everything technically, because first of all, you're just going to kill yourself listening to it. But second of all, most of the people that are right 100% of the time are unbearable to be around anyway. So there's some chance and luck to this as well. So it's not really a good way to say it, but it's true. Anyway, my point of saying all of that is that we have to stop spending time arguing with one another over belief systems and arguing over religion and religious beliefs. Look, I get it. You got a belief system. I get that you believe all that. But for us to take this country back, all that has to be put aside. And the focus has to be on what's the mission. We have a lot of institutions in this country that we have to rebuild from the ground up. That's not going to happen if we spend all of our time infighting about who's right and who's wrong and whose belief system is right and whose belief system is wrong. I'm pretty sure throughout history, wars were fought, won, and lost over whose belief system was right and whose belief system wasn't right. It's one of the reasons why I haven't talked about the whole Gaza-Israel thing from the perspective of who's right or who's wrong and talk about religions. Because you can't look at that situation. You can't analyze that situation and do it from a religious perspective. Because the reality is you have a very small government of complete zealots that's trying to play the victim card and say Israel's the victim when there's clear evidence that they knew the attack was coming. They set it up so people would be killed. They set it up so that people would be taken hostage. It's all the facts are there. And that has nothing to do with religion, neither Muslim or Jewish religion, neither one. And why this is important is that we get so balled up around the axle around our religious beliefs that we lose the peripherals. And let me tell you, in this fight, the peripherals are the most important aspect of the fight. It's not what's in front of you, because what's in front of you most of the time is BS, especially in an information war. It's the peripherals, like this shooter, mentally ill. Number one, mentally ill. Number two, on Discord. Number three, probably most likely had somebody grooming him and communicating with him, just like the other two shooters. You can't take that at face value and say, yeah, this kid's all at fault. Something activated this kid. Something activated him to take action. This is not an isolated event. This is a script that's played out. And the peripherals of this are, who was he talking to before he carried out this act? That's the peripherals. And if you're so focused on the event, we call it target saturation, especially when you're an aircraft. Target saturation. You're following another aircraft. You're so focused on the aircraft in front of you that you lose the peripherals and somebody shoots you down and puts a missile in your tailpipe. Target saturation. You have to get out of target saturation. You have to get out of this mindset that what you see in the press, what you see in alternative media, what you see in print is real. Most of it is not. Most of it is nonsense. And people get so wrapped up in the noise, and then you mix in the religion, and guess what? You have somebody that can't hear or see a fucking word spoken to them. And I'll be honest with you. I don't have time for those people at all. Because if you can't hear or see anything other than what your belief system dictates, you're a liability to the overall fight. Because it means you're going to be fighting with people in a fucking trench somewhere over whether this is a righteous fight or not when people are coming over the fucking wire. I don't have any time for you. Let me just get that out of the fucking way. Man, I long for the days where I was back in the military and there was good order and discipline. Long for those days, I'm telling you. Man. And I'm sure every enlisted guy will tell you that, you know, especially Marines. Marines will tell you they were petrified of their drill instructors. Petrified. Yeah. That movie, Full Metal Jacket, is so spot on. Man, that movie's spot on. But the point is, in all of this, for us to get through this fight, we got to put our differences aside. We got to put all our belief system aside and maintain cohesiveness as a country. And I don't mean put your morals aside. I mean put your staunch belief system to the side and realize that not everybody believes what you believe. And no matter how loud you scream it, they're not going to sign up for it. There's so many aspects to this that I could talk through, but the point's made. Don't get wrapped up in your belief system and let that ball you up, because that stops so many people in their tracks. It's not even funny. And I'll tell you exactly who I'm talking to. Talking to the people that are staunch Christians and they only affiliate with people in their church, and they only affiliate with people that are other Christians, and they have to be a certain kind of Christian. You people are a fucking virus. I'll tell you why you're a virus. Because you've turned your religion into a cult, and that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is the views expressed here are those of Colonel Murray and not of anyone else in this world. But the point is, most people that get so balled up in their religion, and you've met them, they can't hear or see anything outside of their little scope of the world. And the problem with that is you run people out of the church. When you meet somebody like that, like, you know, I went to this church up in Washington that I absolutely loved, because everybody was just laid back. They were very cool. You had some very, and you know, most of these guys were like Bible scholars. These guys knew more about the Bible than I would ever know. But the part that set them apart, and I went to this men's Bible group for a number of years that I, you know, some of the guys were in my PTSD group. Other guys were in just in the church. But the cool thing about it was, is that I found people that that weren't so wrapped up in the religion that they couldn't get the metaphors from the Bible and the nuances and realize and laugh at themselves as well as realize that some of this stuff is not meant to be taken too far. It's meant as a guide to guide people in their day-to-day activities, how we interact with other humans, how we conduct our lives, and how we conduct a meaningful life. And that's a synopsis of one of the Bible scholars that I used to, you know, meet with almost every week. The guy was just wicked smart, wicked smart. And the funny thing about these guys was that you learn so much about Christianity just from being around other Christians that know the Bible, you know, front and back, and guys that that live that lifestyle. You just you see that it's leadership by example is what it really is. But when you see the extremes, the last thing you're going to say is, yeah, I want more of that. I want more of the judgment. I want more of the strict rules that don't mean anything. I don't need any more control freaks in my life. And that's, and the same's on the left, right? It's the left has the exact same problem. So for us to get through this fight, we have to understand the enemy. We have to put aside our differences. And we have to start our, stop arguing amongst ourselves. Because we spend so much time arguing amongst ourselves. It's not even funny. And that brings me to the Tucker Carlson interview with Daryl Cooper. And if you haven't watched it, you should go watch it. I mean, this guy's a historian and he's a deep reader. And why this is so important is that the one thing I haven't talked about that he said very eloquently in the interview, and I think it's like an hour and 20, hour and 30 into the interview. He says the religion of the state dictates what the population can talk about and what the story of World War II really is about. And he talks about keystone events throughout history. But World War II and the Civil War, but more importantly, the Revolutionary War, are two of the most studied wars in history. And it's because they were such massive events with massive undertakings that have never been seen before or since. And they'll be studied for years. But the true study of World War II will not take place until years after the current state religion around World War II is dead. And he is spot on. Because I talk about themes, messages, and narratives all the time. And the narrative of World War II, which he, again, calls out very eloquently, is the Germans were bad. The Allies were good. The Germans did bad things. The Allies only did good things. That's literally the state-approved narrative. And I'll tell you why I say that, because he talks about Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was really trying to prolong the war because he needed the U.S. to come into the war. And because of that, he conducted bombing raids, firebombing raids, etc., to keep the war going, basically acts of terrorism. When the Germans, when they took France, they actually reached out to the British and said, "Look, we don't want to fight you. We want a peace terms." And there's dispatches that show that. There's dispatches that show the back and forth between the British government and the German government. And Churchill wouldn't have it under any circumstances. And to a certain extent, neither would Roosevelt. And so he needed the Soviet Union, or he needed the U.S. to come into the war. And part of the Soviet Union coming into the war was that Hitler believed that Stalin was going to break the contract of the pact that they signed. And if you think about it, and there's enough propaganda pushed into it, which I haven't dived into this enough, but Daryl's dived into it enough to realize that it would have been very easy for the British to conduct an operation, an information operation, to convince the Germans that Stalin was going to break their pact and drive them to invade Russia. And, but the point he makes, which is very valid, and Matt talks about this, so is Michael Yon, is they're either, the Germans are either going to be Bolsheviks or Zionists, and we want to lead them to be Zionists. And you can't talk about that. That is not a state approved or a state condone topic for any historian to talk about. Period. End of story. And in European countries, they will arrest you for it, especially if you try and show that the Germans were no different than anybody else. They were just convinced by their government that things were happening outside the country and they were being gaslighted, et cetera. You can't say any of that. Germans are bad. Allies were good. We didn't do anything wrong, which is the farthest thing from the truth. Because if you look at our bombing campaign just of Japan in 1945, in 1944 and 1945, we were firebombing cities. We were killing thousands and thousands and thousands of Japanese citizens with firebombs. They had firestorms because of the bombing raids we did. You don't ever hear about that. You know why you don't hear about it? Because it helped end the war, saved American lives. Okay, it's still an atrocity, and it's still, you know, heinous, and it's still grotesque, but that's the narrative. And his point was that the state narrative, the state religion around the narrative of World War II has to change. And then he talked about how the Zionist part of it is not discussable either, which is very, very true. And if you look at what's going on in Israel right now, you can tell that Zionists are running the show and the Jewish people are just along for the ride. And we'll see what happens with the riots going on over there. There's actual riots going on over there right now. And people are fed up with the Netanyahu government. And look, I've said this before, and many people have said this, that this is an existential crisis for Netanyahu. He has to keep the war going in order to survive. And so he doesn't care about hostages. He doesn't care about the average citizen. He only cares about staying in power. That should sound vaguely familiar to the Clintons, to the rest of the elite here in the U.S. And what they're deathly afraid of, and what they do not want to see, which I still believe is going to happen, is disclosure of what these people have really been doing. I'm telling you that disclosure is coming, and I'm telling you that you will be shocked by the things these people have been doing for centuries. And all of this matters because the biggest thing they're afraid of is us being united. They're afraid of the numbers. They know what the numbers mean. They know that if we're strong enough and we're organized enough and there's enough of us, that they don't have the bodies to cover, they don't have the bodies to defend themselves, let alone maintain power. And that in and of itself is what scares them the most. But the thing that really scares them, even Netanyahu, is that people find out about his real malfeasance, the things he's really done in the background that nobody knows about. That's what they're deathly afraid of. And they are not going to give up power without a fight. They're going to fight to the death. And most people don't understand what that looks like. This is not going to be one of those fly by night, you know, the country collapses and everybody goes home. It's not going to be that way. This will get violent because you can't have a peaceful transition to a new government without violence. It doesn't work that way. Didn't work that way in 1776. It didn't work that way in the Civil War, and it's not going to work that way now. And I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand, but that is what's coming. And I was talking to Colonel Conrad before the show, and you know, he asked me, do you still think there's going to be an election? I'm like, nope, I don't. And if we do have an election, I think they're going to do something to disrupt it, or at least turn it off. Because look, here's the reality of the situation in the U.S. right now. Over 80% of the country, whether they say it or they don't say it, support Trump. Over 80%. Most average people, they see the situation clearly. They see what's going on with Trump. They see what's, and it's not even about the candidate. It's about the fact that the state of the country is so bad. And all the things that they've implemented, the Green New Deal and all the other stuff they've slipped into the legislation, is so bad for the country that it's affecting their lives. And they would rather have Trump than anybody on the left. And the left knows that. They didn't even trust their base enough to primary Kamala Harris. They didn't trust them. That should tell you they know they don't have the numbers to justify installing her in office. So they have to come up with something to drive the narrative and to install her into office. And I'm telling you, they've set perfect conditions, so that will never be accepted by the public. And I can tell you exactly what I'm going to say on election day when they steal it, if we get that far. I'm only going to say one word, just one, attack. Because that will be the catalyst for a civil war. And there won't be any reason to hold back. Why would you hold back? They've stolen two elections already. The elite class of Washington, D.C. has spent the last 4 years telling you they don't care about you. They don't care about this country. They don't even care if you know that they don't care. They don't care. So why would you wait and wait for a court case or wait for the court system, which clearly has shown, along with all the legislatures in all the states, are completely compromised? Why would you wait around after that? Because the only thing that follows that is slavery, death, more slavery, more misery. That's the only thing that follows that. At that point, if you're holding on to, you know, white hats coming in or some other bullshit, I guarantee you that you're holding on to the wrong thing. And most people, this is the part most people can't get over. They just can't get their head around. They can't get their head around the fact that the average citizen is going to have to step up, work with other people, and take the country back. And it's going to have to start at your local level, then it's going to have to move to your state, and then you're going to have to, we're all going to have to go to DC. And I'm telling you, it's not going to end any other way. There's no other way this ends. And there's no other way, because the other part of this too is you have to do something. We have to do something about the media. The media is completely corrupt. They're political activists for the elite. They're gaslighting people. That's not who we are. That's not what we're about. We're supposed to be about truth. We're supposed to be about justice. We're supposed to be equal justice for all. We're supposed to be about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And all you've heard for the last 4 years, we don't give a fuck about you. We don't give a fuck about the Constitution. We don't give a fuck about you. We don't give a fuck about this country. We hate America. I don't know how much more catalyst you need to realize that this election is not something they're going to allow to happen if they can't completely convince the world that it was free and fair and legitimate. And there's no way they can do that when 80% of the country would vote for anybody other than Kamala Harris. I don't care what you see in the news. I don't care what you see in social media. No one likes her. No one. And the whole case around she's smart, she's not smart. I think she's dumb as a sack of fucking hammers. And I don't think she's qualified to be president. And I don't know why anybody would think that she was duly nominated to be the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. And then the other thing is we have to do something about the two-party system. That's a bunch of horse shit. Two-party system. You only get the left or the right, and they're both the same party. That needs to go away. There needs to be 100 parties. There needs to be 100 candidates, and there needs to be no federal funding. There needs to be no super PACs. There needs to be no special interests. You get out there, you make a message for yourself, you create a groundswell, you create a movement, and then you go get elected. And if you can't do that, you fuck off and you go do something else. Go back to selling copiers. That's how it needs to be. And the reality is that most people don't understand enough about the political process to really grasp that concept. And then here's the other piece. We need to break up the way counties are set up so that you don't have these dominant counties in every state, so that one county drives the whole state. Like here, Maricopa County drives the whole state. You set a limit on the number of people that can be included in a county, and then you start breaking up the counties and you keep them under 1 million people. I don't care if you have 55 counties in one city. I don't give a fuck. The point is you make it so there's no way they can cheat like they've done here. Because the cheating was so blatant here. It was just like, really? You have to count votes for another 10 days? And nobody lifted a finger. If you sit at home this time, folks, I'm telling you, you're going to lose your country. That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, and, ors, or buts about it. If you don't get off your ass this time, you lose your country. And you know what? You fucking deserve it. If you're too fucking lazy, you're too worried about football, you're too worried about skiing, you're too worried about going out to the lake, you're too worried about hunting, fuck you. You don't deserve to be in this country. Because if you're not willing to fight for this Constitution and our way of life, then fuck you. There's tons of people that will. That's kind of how I look at this. It's very, very simple. There's no we could, we should, we either do or we don't. And if we don't, we're doomed. Very simple. So the last piece I want to talk about, and by the way, you should watch Tucker Carlson interview, because the left and the rest of the establishment are losing their fucking collective minds. And I think it's glorious to see. Because the one thing we never do, even in military history, is that we don't look at what was the commander's, you know, what was the commander leader's view of the world at the time they were making decisions. It's easy to look back and say that, you know, at the Battle of Midway, we didn't have anything to lose. But the reality is we did. We could have played it a different way, but we put all our eggs in one basket and we played it out, and it worked out for us. But, and just like the whole Pearl Harbor thing, I read an article about Admiral Richardson, one of the guys posted in the Telegram, or posted in our single chat, that we, the all around round table guys, were all in a chat. So we talk all the time. And what I thought was very interesting is I read through this article. It was written by National Archives, which is in and of itself fucking amazing that somebody would give a accurate and unbiased opinion of a historical event. But something I didn't know that was that the Pacific Fleet, which was supposed to be based in San Diego, was actually based at Pearl Harbor for 2 years prior to the attack on December 7th. And that Admiral Richardson was the fleet commander, and he kept reaching out to the Secretary of the Navy saying, hey, we need to move the fleet because we're getting our skills in gunnery are atrophying, and the fleet's, you know, doesn't have the capabilities here to maintain the fleet, maintain the ships like we do in San Diego. And more importantly, the Hawaiian people, they're not set up to handle the overflow of sailors. And so he kept sending a message every single month. He stayed out in Pearl, you know, to manage the situation in Pearl. And they finally relieved him of command because they were saying that the fleet at Pearl was a deterrent to the Japanese. And it wasn't. It wasn't a deterrent at all. You saw the result of that on December 7th. So he was relieved and replaced by Admiral Kimmel, and Admiral Kimmel was the fall guy. He was intended to be the fall guy. They set conditions for the attack to happen. And if you read through the article and then you read through some of the dispatches to the National Archives, you're like, holy shit. He was saying for months that this is not a strategy that we can maintain the fleet on, but more importantly, the fleet's not ready for a fight. Back then, I think that's very significant, especially for somebody in the battlefield. So you see in the battlefield commander, the fleet commander saying, look, we need to move the fleet. We need to do retrofit. We need to do modernization. We need to do crew training. We need to do a lot of different things. We can't do that here. And you have this persona, again, the religion of the state, which says that the fleet was based at Pearl, which was not true. So it's yet another, you know, historical fact that was changed to support the state religion and the state narrative. And you can't deny it when it's in black and white. So all these historical events, while you think they might be trivial, they all point to the same thing. We've set conditions for this election so that nobody will accept the outcome. And no matter how you cut it, there's not going to be an election that people were going to accept. I'm not going to accept anything because I'm watching the cheating right now. There's stuff in ballot boxes in like five different states right now. And it's September. We still have 2 months to go. So that's why I don't think there's going to be an election, because the reality is, I'm not going to buy it. And I don't think anybody else is either. And then there's the fact that, you know, Americans are seeing not just their paychecks erode, but they're seeing their lives erode. You know, things they've worked for their whole lives are being taken away from them. So if you don't stand up this time, it's over. That's just the bottom line. And all of those lines of operation are all starting to coalesce all around that date anyway. So, you know, when I was talking to Dave earlier, I'm like, nope, I just don't see it. I don't see how that's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to transpire. I don't even see how they're going to allow it to happen. I don't even think the debate's going to happen. And that's not me being cynical. That's me saying the left or the elite that are controlling Kamala Harris cannot allow her to have an even worse performance than she did in that interview with Tim Walz. They can't allow it. And I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to social media, but God, they are full tilt in the messaging. They're full tilt in the AI and full tilt in the shill accounts. Like, my favorite is Republicans against Trump. Yeah, cucks for schmucks. There's all kinds of posts around Liz Cheney's going to vote for Kamala Harris. No one cares. These three snowflakes that are burning the Trump flag, they're going to vote for Harris. No one cares. But it's a symptom of the bigger propaganda blitz that's going on right now that most people don't even realize. There's hundreds of accounts like that. You know, some PhD somewhere, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump or I'm going to vote for Harris because Harris is a true leader. That's a bullshit account. There's hundreds of them. So here's my advice until the election. Don't get wrapped up in any of the emotional stuff, because I can tell you that I read through the Twitter feed now, I just get incensed. Not from the stuff that's being posted, from the dumbass responses that people are posting. There's some funny memes, but you can see if you read some of the comments to some of these shill accounts, I can tell you can see the vitriol and the anger across the country coming out. And it's not just here in the US, it's across the planet. People are pissed off. And it's because, and I've said this before, and it bears repeating, people are stuck in the emotional space. They're stuck in the emotions wrapped around what they're reading or what they're seeing. That's by design. They want you emotionally compromised so they can manipulate you into doing something either rash or doing something that they want. That's how the game's played. They use fear, they use anger, they use intimidation. That's the only three plays they have in their playbook, and they use them effectively. And people are still getting sucked into that. So my advice before the election is stay out of social media. If you see stuff that turns your face red, walk away from it. Set the shit down and walk away from it, because there's no point in responding to this. I respond all the time. You know why? I want to see where the guardrails are, I bump the guardrails or go over the guardrails and somebody bans my ass. I've already been banned in Europe because I went after Tedros, that fucking terrorist prick. But I also, you know, oh, there goes my numbers. So I just went down to one viewer. That's awesome. Yeah, that's Rumble. That's the NSA telling me they're paying attention. Here's my answer. Fuck you. Go fuck yourselves. You're a bunch of traitors. God. Yeah, I'm a little raw today. It's just been a day. But stay out of the emotional space, because the emotional space will always drag you down. And remember that they're trying to draw an emotional response. The if you watch the evening news, the local news, evening news, whatever, you know, national news, when you watch all that, it's designed to generate emotional response. It's designed to keep you at a heightened state of not just anger, but a heightened emotional state. And I guarantee if you don't watch it it keeps going up and down. Mine goes to zero, then goes back. Fuck it. So that's NSA telling me that they're watching. And you can tongue these nuts. So anyway, stay out of the emotional space. Don't get sucked into the narratives. Don't buy everything you see. Assume that everything is bullshit, especially around the shooter. Assume everything's bullshit. They're going to play the whole emotional card in the news. Oh, it's so terrible. You're right. It is terrible. And people lost their lives. I'm not making light of it, but it is a bunch of BS that this kid wasn't activated by something or someone. This kid had help. This kid didn't just decide to go and shoot these people. Something activated this kid. And that's what I mean by stay out of the emotional space. So, of course they're messing with me. Of course they are. They're trying to tell me that they're watching me. I get it. You're watching me. You got a dossier. I get it. Yeah. Don't ask Garrett. Blow me. Oh, God. It's every day. Okay, last thing. In every description now, I'm putting the link for the shirts, because I still have people asking me about the shirts, the link to Substack. I posted an article on Substack today about common things to have in your toolkit for your firearms, and common tools to have, especially if you have an AR. I'll expand on that probably tomorrow over the weekend. We're still on for the gunfighter course, 10 through 12, with Chris. Troop will be the range officer. We might have a few others doing range safety and helping with the course setup. And we'll be back with the round table on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. And I'll be back on Monday with a sit rep. If you like what we're doing, hit the follow button, because that does two things for us. One, it spreads the message. It puts us at the top of the search list. It also allows people to find us, which if we're not above a certain threshold, I think it's like, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000, then we don't show up right away in a search. So it helps the channel, helps everything else. I didn't look to see if there was any donations, so let me do that really quick. I know there was a few the other night. I don't see any tonight, but anything you guys donate in Rumble, takes it like 9 years for them to pay it out, but usually when it pays out, I usually transfer all of it over to Troops, Trooper Care Network. Joe Dolio has a veterans group that I'm going to start splitting up and send a half to one, a half to the other. So your money is going somewhere. We've been doing the shirts now for about a month and a half, and I think we sold about 100, and I'll tell you exactly how many shirts we sold. Hang on. We have sold a total of course, I have to log in. Why would anything be easy? We have sold a total since we started. So we started selling shirts looks like July 27th, we sold 130 shirts. So, yeah, appreciate you guys buying the shirts. It's pretty cool. If you'd asked me 4 years ago if I would have been in a situation like this, I told you're high, smoking something. But here we are. I know the follow list. For those of you who have followed, you've been unfollowed, you have to keep it the follow. Just be persistent. Eventually it'll stick. I'm not the only one having this problem. I talked to Tommy Kerrigan and others. They're all having the same problem. It's like right around 5,000 followers is when Rumble throttles it. I think there's a threshold that they're trying to keep people under. So Rumble, Twitter, they're all being throttled. They're all throttling people. I don't care what anybody says. They're still throttling people. So, but Monday I'll be back. And I'm hopefully on Monday, nothing will happen over the weekend. So we'll talk about some key aspects from Pawns in the Game that apply to today. And then if you haven't read Pawns in the Game by William Carr, you should go read it. You get it on Audible so you can listen to it in your car. I highly suggest you read it. It's a very, very good book. And it's the pattern and the script that's in the book that's being played out is exactly what they're doing right now. And it gives you a framework for how they're doing things. It's just different dress. Instead of using communism, they're using the color revolution. It's the same thing. So I'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.